Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you guys. Welcome to Altered State, episode 3, where we learn how to fight. I'm talking about really fight when it comes to spiritual warfare. This is something I've wanted to do for a long time, and now you know what? We're doing this thing. And I want to tell you, we're going to do a little bit of recap as we talk about different species of angels and demons, which was episode 1. Then we're going to do a little bit of a recap of different realms such as outer court, inner court, or first, second, third heaven, and actually sacred spaces upon the planet Earth, which was episode 2, which will lead us into this episode, which is how do we get into a state that fits the space where we're at, because you are also a temple, and the devil is always trying to alter our state so that we are not righteous. And that is not a salvation term. That means rightly aligned. And the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. All right, guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Friends, please be sure and like this. Please be sure and comment. I already see Carolina loves King Jesus. Hello, Caroline. Hello, Chris. Hello, Carline. Hello, Troy Brewer. I don't know how that clown got on here. Somebody should be taking him off. And I see Matthew is on here and a bunch of others. So listen, you want to do that. Please, please, please. And then if we have a time for questions and answers, we might actually do that. And we'll see. We'll see how this goes. But I know that this is going to go very well because I also have one of my favorite people on the planet Earth. She's back and she's on camera here with me, Miss Concepcion Jenkins. Yay. How are you doing, kiddo?
I'm doing good.
Are you so happy to see me today?
I am.
Yeah. Right, you know, yeah. You're the one that does all my research for me. You are my research girl.
It's fun.
You're the one that I, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Do you like that? So, you used to do our podcast with us and then, mm-hmm. and then you don't anymore because Shay came in and kicked you off. And which,
yes, Shay came in and did her job. So
terrible, terrible.
She's
you know,
awesome.
Man, when you
she's
hire people, you
job.
Don't really know what you're going to get. When you hire people, you don't know.
Okay, well, we like won the lotto with Shay.
We did win the lotto with Shay. We did. But here you are with me today, and we're going to go through this, and you're going to help me, right on?
Yeah.
Because me and you, this is our jam. This is what you and I talk all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, no, this
and
is this like is, a hobby.
And this is who we are. Now, first, before I begin to do this, I want to just say a great big thank you to all of my partners and all of my friends, all of the Open Door Tribe, all of the Troy Brewer Ministries Tribe, and just say this, guys, we're making a tremendous difference. You and I are together. And I talked to Swanami, who was at the airport in Durango, Mexico. She's literally in the air right now flying back here and with some incredible news. That also includes the 12-year-old little girl that we rescued last week, who we now have under our care. And we're stewarding that. Friends, you're making a tremendous difference all over the planet Earth by supporting this ministry and by helping us. So if you want to get in this fight, simply go to troybrewer.com and give there, or you can call the number, which is 877-413-0888. All right, Miss Connie, let's jump off into all this thing, man. Are you ready to do this?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to put my Where's Waldo glasses on. Are you the one that called these my Where... Are you the one that did that?
No, but
somebody
accurate.
Did. And then it kind of stuck after that. I'm going to scoot over a little bit so I don't get in your shot. Okay, whenever we first started this, I wanted to talk about different species because there are reasons why sometimes your warfare works immediately mm-hmm. and sometimes it doesn't. There's a reason why we have so many wins and losses in the kingdom. And I think it's just real that we just need to admit that, hey, you know what? Well, I got lots of wins. I got lots of losses. I mean, if I have to pray for 1,000 people to be healed of cancer, I should be willing to pray for 1,000 people to see one person healed. But I know that it is also God's will for the other 999 people. And I know that I have the faith, but something's off. What, you know? And so... I wanted to address that and just say we need to understand all these different arenas and all the different players within the arenas and what our responsibility is. So we looked up, first of all, let's just talk about different kinds of species of angels. And if it's that way in the holy angelic realm, it is also that way in the fallen angelic realm.
Something that you said, I think it was the first podcast that you, the first episode of this podcast that you mentioned, and you said that same thing. And you were like, hey, imagine with the hybridization that the enemy camp does, they might even have crazy, outlandish species.
Much more species, right.
Yeah, crazy.
And it's not because they do things illegally. They're a bunch of punks. And they cause chaos and they do a bunch of things illegally. So I actually went through, let's see here. I went through messenger class angels, Malachi 3, warring angels, Daniel 10, cherubim, which is all about sacred space.
Right.
And that's something else too that I'm trying to point out to you is every single one of these different categories of angels have different realms and different spaces.
Yes. And I think one of the most powerful things that you talk about is that angel, that term just means a job. That's not their species. That's not what they do. That's just the, hey, this species of angelic being, this Elohim is being tasked with this type of job at this time. That doesn't necessarily mean that's what they are.
So you brought up the word Elohim, and let's just kind of just for basic ground rules, Elohim doesn't always mean God.
Right.
Elohim means spiritual being.
Yes.
So it's just there is the Elohim singular, which Yahweh is Elohim of the Elohim. He is the God over all the other gods.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And then there's the other Elohim. And so that's everything. That's every spiritual being.
Exactly.
Right on.
That gives you no detail.
Gives you no detail. It sure doesn't. So Elohim, as in the plural sense, and also to angels, as in the plural sense, That's not a one kind of species. That they look different, they act different, they have different rules of operation, they have different rules of engagement, they have a different kind of spaces and different kind of realms that they operate in.
Right, and you spoke of operations and legalities and spaces, and Jude 1:6, I think it is, kind of gives us a window into that when it tells us that the angels left their proper domain, their proper realm. And they invaded ours through the interbreeding with human women.
They dang sure did. And we're still dealing with it to this day.
To this day.
And I mean, you know, the whole thing, I mean, the reason why we're having to deal with all this, these Muslim invasions all over the planet Earth actually comes from that. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the big Palestinian flag, look at it, the fist that is on it, mind you, it's coming out of Gaza. The fist that is on it has six fingers on it.
Yeah.
Okay. The devil knows all this stuff.
Yes.
And they think that we're a bunch of clowns and we're never going to figure any of this out.
Right. It's a hidden code for them. And it's like those who know, and those who don't, it just goes over their head.
Yep. And then they call people like us heretics. I love all my heretic mail. I really do. I got some new one yesterday. And it's like, okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So, I mean, and whenever people just call you a heretic, what they're saying is there's no way for us to have a conversation about this because what you're saying is total blasphemy. And obviously it's not. I mean, we love Jesus as much as anybody on the planet Earth. I mean, we are Jesus people.
Yes.
But there are a lot of Jesus people that are not kingdom people.
That's so true. That's so true. And when you actually look at the life of Jesus, you see that Jesus was actually about this stuff that we're talking about.
Yeah, he preached the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. And in fact, everywhere that he preached, there's only one time that Jesus, out of the 153 people that he led into the kingdom, there is only one time that he sat down and taught salvation.
Wow.
That's, you know what it is. It's Nicodemus. Everybody else, he taught the kingdom.
The kingdom.
That's what he taught. And it's like, wow. So he told Nicodemus, dude, you got to be born again. He didn't say that to anybody else. He told him, this is what you have to do to enter into the kingdom. This is where the kingdom is. That's where the kingdom is. Because with the kingdom comes the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the king.
Yes. And the kingdom, it's a realm.
It's a realm. Yes. So we talked about these different kinds of species of angels, the hosts of heaven, you know, constellation angels. Me and you were having a little talk about that. You know, the Bible talks about, and there are literally entities that, they're like, no, this constellation represents my territory. And we're coming from this space, according to your perspective.
And you see that in Egypt.
Sure do.
With the pyramids.
Yeah, which are completely lined up with Orion's belt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to the T, they're lined up with the belt of Orion. Very interesting stuff. So So if you've been getting your hat handed to you, if you've been like, hey, I've been, this thing's showing up and I'm rebuking the devil and it just takes, I don't know what's going on. You need to understand that there are different kinds of unholy entities in the angelic realm who have fallen. And even Jesus himself said, they said, we don't understand why we can't cast this demon out like we can everywhere else. He said, this kind, meaning this is a different kind. And there's a different rule of engagement with this kind. And this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. Like, whoa. Okay, so Jesus is recognizing the different kinds, which also means there's different types of warfare and things that, and ways that we have to consecrate ourselves.
Right, and I love that it was Jesus who said that, because he obviously was perfect, obviously was righteous. So it wasn't that it was something he was lacking in. It's just like, no, this is something that you have to address in a different way.
Okay. So all that was episode number one, and we went through that, which means, and I'm just gonna throw this out there one more time. If you are dealing with something and you're like, I've never heard of this before, I've never seen this before, I don't know how to tell anybody about this because I don't even have a grid for it. There's all different kinds of things in the satanic realm, in the fallen category. And it may be that nobody in your culture has ever experienced that before. It may be that the people you grew up with have never experienced. Maybe the kind of devil that they deal with is completely different than the kind of devil that you're having to deal with. And so don't think that you're crazy. Search out the matter. That's the honor of kings. Amen. And search it out and come against it. Ask the Lord, what is this thing? Because light maketh manifest. Light maketh manifest. And getting back to, you know, like I recently did an episode on blurry creatures.
Yeah, awesome.
And
so good.
Man, you know, people are saying, man, I see this weird thing. I see that weird thing. I've seen this thing. I see that thing. Well, it doesn't surprise me because Jesus said in Luke chapter 21:11 that in the last days there would be fearful sights. People would see scary things.
Scary things.
And that's what they would see. And this is the day that we're actually living in. So I'd say one more thing about that before we recap episode two. Mm-hmm. And it's this. There are some things in the spirit that we see that is its own thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be something else. It doesn't have to be something else. It's kind of like, you know, whenever Ezekiel saw the will within the will, that being that was the will within the will. Mm-hmm. That might be a one and done. I mean, that might be its own species. It doesn't. Well, actually, what that was some angel that manifested in such a way prophetically that he said, and I've heard people argue those things. I'm like, why can't it just be that's what it is?
I think it's just humanity. Because when we see something or come across something new, we're like, okay, how can I relate this to something I know? Because how can I feel like I have some kind of footing in this situation and not feel like what just happened or what did I just go through?
Yeah, I want to tell you this, man. Whenever you come across something that you've never seen or you don't have a grid for, you tend to be in awe of it. Mm-hmm. And that's a dangerous place. That's a really dangerous place. Once you get over the shock and go, no, this thing actually has shown up and it's here and it's real and it's legit. I don't know what it is. Here's what you learn. You listen to the prophet Arnold Schwarzenegger from the movie Predator, and it goes like this. If it bleeds, it can die. Yes. If it can bleed, it can die.
Right. It can be overcome.
You got to find out a right way, man, to go to war against this thing. And you can't do warfare like you've always done it. You have to do it differently.
I think that's another thing is to think like, oh, okay, I can just go after this way. This has worked in the past. And it's like, no, you can't. You're going to have to learn a new strategy or a new blueprint.
Might have to do that. I see that Charlena, my friend, is on here, and she just gave a gift of $500. Way to go, Charlena.
Oh, whoa,
thank you
awesome.
So much. Thank you guys for giving, and thank you guys for standing with us and believing in this ministry and helping us. I want to throw this out there and just say this. Hey, man, why don't you guys follow our friend Charlena, and why don't you guys follow her and call the number. Call 877-413-0888 and help us not only rescue these kids all over the world, but help us to actually raise them. Because that, my friend, is a money pit, and that's okay. It's quite all right. All right, so then let's go ahead and let's move into the next one. Can we do that?
Yes, let's go.
So in episode two, we actually talked about realms, and we talked about designated realms. So Dr. Michael Heiser used to actually put out, okay, look, the simplest way to see this is when Moses came back from heaven, he actually built the tabernacle according to the pattern that was shown to him in heaven. So the pattern, the heavenly pattern is there's designated realms of operation, outer court, inner court, most holy place, first, second, third heaven. And there's these designated realms, certain things can operate in certain ways in these designated realms. And it's like, you're not going to go to God Almighty's third heaven as a demon and rake a bunch of havoc.
Right.
You can go to God Almighty's third heaven as a demon and you can bring an accusation and you can stand like in the courts of heaven and you can operate in those things, but you can't go around tormenting the redeemed that are there and you can't go around causing a bunch of stink. This, the big mess that you're going to offer as a demon in heaven is about the mess that's going on earth. And what they're contending for is for that dominion. Look, see, they're turning it over to us and they're turning it over to us. We get to have it. We get to have it. We get to have it. And that's what they're always fighting over. And so, but in the first heaven realm, there's something liable to drop right straight out of the sky and mess with your head. And in the first heaven realm, demons can manifest in multiple ways. Angels can manifest in multiple ways. And second heaven, oh my gosh. Second heaven is a mess.
It's a mess.
So what do you know about second heaven?
Daniel, when he's praying for 21 days, what we see behind the scenes, that's second heaven warfare. Mm. And I think that shows us that's what happens when you pray.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you are a warrior, whether you know it or not.
Yeah, whether you know it or not. You know, Danny Kaye, who actually has a book on his near-death experience, he said that when he died and when he was on his way to heaven, he went through the second heaven, and he could see angels and demons lining up on fields, and they would literally fight, and they were fighting. And when they fell on their field, they went shoomp, and they were sent to another field. So they actually lost. And then they were removed from that one field and they were sent to another. They just relentlessly fight over and over and over again.
Wow.
And he's like, man, when you're praying and when you're praying, man, these additional and whichever one won determine if the prayer got answered or if it didn't, or if the will of Satan was able to be done or if it didn't. And he was thinking his way to go see the Father as he traveled through second heaven, he was thinking, man, I should have prayed a whole lot more. I had no idea the effect that it had. Yeah. Whoa. Wow. Okay. Right on.
So we're held responsible.
Yeah,
like literally how we get to take dominion. It's like, well, what are you inputting into the kingdom to see it made manifest in the first heaven? Because the first here is the only heaven that we have authority over.
Come on. That's exactly right. So we had better get our act together while we're here on this planet in these physical bodies that we have.
Yeah.
With the limited amount of knowledge that we have and the unlimited amount of power and authority that comes from heaven, we had better get our act together.
Yeah, the Lord's counting on us and he's trusting us.
So when it comes to realms and when it comes to sacred space, there's literally places that you and I can go that we will have total dominion, Connie, and the Spirit of the Lord will move, cast out death. There's other places we can go and we have no authority there whatsoever.
Right.
We carry the presence of the Lord there, which is the authority that we have to be able to stand in that place. But it's like, no, you know what? This is a different kingdom. It's a different realm. And that thing is emphasized that whenever God Almighty says, when he says, hey, approach me, he tells Moses, take your shoes off. I don't want the dirt in that place being on this place because I've made this place a compatible place with me.
Wow.
And that place is not compatible with my presence. So leave your shoes. I don't want shoes here. And then we gave all those awesome things about the dust, you know, shake the dust. If they will not receive your peace.
Right.
So we're carrying peace. We're actually going to deposit. Then he says, take it back. Don't leave it there.
And you shake off the dust.
And then shake off the dust. You don't want to carry that toxic environment. You can literally physically carry it with you. He's like, wow. No, you don't want to do that.
See, there are so many keys that we think, oh, that's just nice, flowery speech. And no, that's actually a kingdom key that the Lord was giving you.
Major. When Jesus washes the feet of his disciples and says, if you won't let me do this, I am not your Lord. He's not playing.
No. And you also talked about Naaman when he came and he was like, look, I'm loyal to Yahweh now, but I have to help my master worship this other god. Let me take two donkey carts full, donkey carts full of dirt from here, from Yahweh's territory, back to my territory, so that I can remain loyal to him in the midst of this pagan religion and
because
nation.
Because he got the revelation that you could not serve Yahweh in that territory. You couldn't then. You can now.
Right.
You know, so I believe he was Persian, I think. Wasn't he Persian?
I think so.
So imagine all
something.
All of these incredible Christians in Iran that are so terribly persecuted and live in such a toxic, you can worship Yahweh from there now because of what Jesus Christ has done. But up until Jesus, he was a Syrian, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right on. But now the game has changed, and now we're commanded to go to all the world.
Yes.
Now we're actually commanded to go there. Hey, can I just throw this out there? By the way, oh, wow, became a member. Come on, thank you so much. Media missionary, Dayla, so happy about that. Did you know that starting this Sunday, we're celebrating 30 years of Open Door Church. And as a 29-year-old knucklehead, I started this church when I was 29, which is crazy. Yeah, and I'm 59. I'm fixing to be 59 here in December. But do you know that in 30 years, we have literally carried the gospel to 64 nations.
Oh, wow.
Physically.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that there were that many.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And that's not counting, you know, all the nations that we've reached through our television ministry and through that kind of stuff. But there was a day it wouldn't have done no good to have a TV ministry because nobody in the world could serve Yahweh. They could only serve the other gods.
Because they were in their territory.
Because they were in their territory. And even King David said that in 2 Samuel. First Samuel. He said, why do you torment me when you know that I cannot serve Yahweh on this side of the fence? You know that. And he was like, that's the worst thing you did to me, Saul, was run me out here where I'm not able to serve Yahweh. Like, wow. So he's like, I'll just go to work for the Philistines.
Yeah, and he did.
I'm talking about for years and years and years. He just became an assassin. Just a savage.
Yeah, he was rough.
He's like, well, I can't serve God out here anyway, you know? So until I'm able to let back in.
Well, I just thought of it. I wonder if that's a part of the reason why the Lord was like, you can't build my temple, David, because you're a man of bloodshed. A lot of that bloodshed was him serving those other gods.
Dude, that whole assassin thing you did for the Philistines, you're not going to build that.
That's
crazy. That's good, Connie.
Oh, my God.
That's craziness. Ooh, that is crazy. That's crazy. You know, also, too, I just now thought about this. Moses's wife called Moses a bloody man.
Oh, yeah, when she had to circumcise their kids.
Yeah, that didn't go over well.
No, that was a bad day.
That was a bad day. Oh, honey, you got this. You handle that. Like, look what you made me did. And then she said, you are a bloody man. And that's what the Lord told David. Buddy, you're a bloody dude.
Oh, and David went and got to marry one of Saul's daughters. He circumcised a bunch of Philistines.
Yeah, 2,000. He came back with a trophy case, buddy. I love David.
David
I
is love awesome.
It. I think David's one, so does God. God thinks he's one of the greatest human beings that's ever lived, you know? All right. So now let's get off into part three.
Part three, yes.
All right. So we're going to leave different species, different players. We're going to leave different realms, and we're going to get into, you tell us, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about how you alter your own state.
Okay. All right, let's do this thing. All right. I want to tell you that a big part of spiritual warfare that you might not actually realize, a big part of it is this. You get into a place, everything is lined up, but your spirit is in a different state than the thing that God Almighty is trying to do with you. And you have to... if you come into the presence of the Lord and you say, okay, God, I need to see, God, this devil is attacking me. I need to see a financial miracle. But your state is anxiety. Your state is the fruit of the enemy. Your prayers may not avail much. So what the Word of God says is that it is the prayers of a righteous man that availeth much. And one of the reasons why A lot of times our prayer just seems like, man, it's just hitting the ceiling, just ka-pink, ka-pink, you know, it just, as the heavens become brass, as the Bible says, it's because we need to alter our own state, meaning our state of being needs to be, it needs to be nailed to the altar of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't learn how to do that, it's a lot like, if you'll just let me dumb this down, Connie, you know that I'm a big date person. You know, I love to take Leanna out on dates.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I do. I like taking her out on dates. Now that we're old, I don't want to go into town anymore. God, I don't want to deal with all those people and I don't want all that, but we still go on dates. Mm-hmm. And so
a labor of love.
Yes. Yes, it is. But we do. I still do that because Leanna likes that. And I'm like, honey, go get yourself all dolled up and let's go. And she's like, okay, man, let's go. And I love that. Okay, if I go and if I sit down at the dinner table with her, I'm about to spend a couple of $100 on some hoity-toity meal that I'd much rather have a chicken fried steak back in Glenrose, but I'm doing this for us.
Right.
And I like romance. I like setting things up. Mm-hmm. I like that. And I like being very intentional about things. And like, okay, I like that. And so we get together. But if I sit there and she has spent her evening with me and we have spent all this money and everything lined up, but I'm a jackass the whole time we're sitting there and I'm mad about so-and-so said this or so-and-so said that, or did you see my hate mail I got today? My state is not compatible with the place where I'm at and with the person I'm with in order for the right results to happen.
So good, yeah.
And what most dudes will say is, dude, I took you out, I took off work, I took you out, I spent the money, and still you don't appreciate it. Like, but yeah, but you were a different person that night. If you wanted to be psychotic, you could have gone to the back 8 acres and go walk around in the woods and the trees, and you could grab at all the trees. You don't bring that to me because you were supposed to.
I think we think of it as attitude, like your attitude should have been, you were happy to be there with me, or you were happy to get to spend this time. And I think that's how we think about it on a day-to-day basis. We don't realize like, oh no, this is actually a state that I am in charge of. I'm not supposed to be a thermometer. You're supposed to be the thermostat.
That's exactly right.
Well, you're the one in charge of that thermostat.
I say it all the time. It's one thing for God Almighty to give you the plan. It's another thing for you to, what's the word I always use?
Conform your life to the image.
Yeah, it's another thing for you to conform your life to the image. So many times you have to conform your own soul. You have to conform your own way of thinking. You have to conform your mouth. You have to conform. Like, no, I know I have to operate in a certain spirit. Now, there's the spirit of a man, right? And then there's the spirit of God Almighty. We know that we have the Holy Spirit within us.
Right.
But many times we have to alter the state of the spirit of our own man and go, I'm not going to see any breakthrough. This is not compatible with that. I have to humble myself, and I'm going to have to conform to that.
And I think that's why humility is such a big deal in the kingdom, because it takes you being humble to realize, oh, wait, no, I need to get over myself, and I need to align myself with the Holy Spirit and with what the Lord is doing.
Hey, it's good to see one of my sons in the Lord, old Samuel, all the way from Uganda, East Africa. Hello, Samuel. I call you blessed, my friend. Next week, Mama Leanna is going to be with you guys in Uganda. And so everybody's like, oh, are you going to be there? No, I'm not. I'm not coming. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm going to be in Mexico next week. I was invited by the Department of Homeland Security and to come to the border and also to go to Mexico City. And they're going to take a tour of our home and talk to me about 30 years of rescuing kids on the border. So I have to go to that next week. So I'm sorry, all my Ugandan family. I'm going to miss you guys next week. But Mama Leanna is going to be there. Jaja Leanna is going to be there. All right, so how to invite the presence of the Lord into your state. All right. So if I'm going to ask you, okay, hey, look, I know I have a responsibility to pray for this. Okay, I have come, I'm now presenting myself before the Lord. How do I invite the presence of the Lord into my state?
I love, immediately I think of scripture because that's what helps kick me off into whatever it is. Yep. So I thought of when David talks about entering into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. If you want to invite him into your real estate or into your state, go into his. He's told you how He's giving you a blueprint.
Preach it, sister. Come on, keep on going. You're doing great.
So he's giving you a blueprint. He's told you how. And so when you draw near to the Lord, he can't help but draw near to you. Mm. So if you go into his real estate, you go into his realm, his domain, then he can't help but to come into your realm and your domain because you've lined up. You've met kingdom protocol.
Okay. Listen, guys, if you can catch what I'm fixing to tell you, it'll change your life. Because I'm gonna go right off my little sister here, and I'm going to go right off of this. And this is the point of that. The reason why, when people are in their warfare mode, they're in their warfare mode, and they don't know how to enter into the presence of the Lord in their warfare mode, is because when we're fighting the devil, we are warriors. But as we enter into the kingdom, we are children. And you got to learn, you and I have to learn that childlike warrior stance, mm-hmm. meaning at the same time, while I am beating your eyes shut, devil, I'm going to beat your eyes shut. That's something I tell the devil all the time. I'm going to beat your eyes shut. That's what I tell him. I'm not going to back off. I'm going to keep doing it. At the same time, to have a place where I say, Father, and you have to be able to come to him as a child, and you have to be able to learn how to do that in a New York second.
Yes. That's what King David was so good at doing.
He's so good at that. Mm-hmm. He's so good. It's almost, you almost got to have like this bipolar thing where you got one eye like the old Jack Elam and you're like, and you got another eye on the Lord, and you are a warrior to the one and you are a child to the other at the same exact time. And I know a lot of people never learned that. And they don't see so many of their awesome prayers answered.
Well, those are two different states. And I don't think that, I think when you start multitasking, I think that's when you have to really be like, okay, I have to intentionally put on the mind of Christ. Because you're not just multitasking here, you're multitasking in the spirit. And what you're doing is affecting not just here, it's affecting the spirit. So you have to have the mind of Christ to be able to navigate things in a way that's kingdom proper. And in a way that honors him and protects you from the enemies of the kingdom of God.
So I saw this on the last Star Wars movie. I saw this, okay? And I loved the last Star Wars movie. I loved it. And so, but I saw this deal, and Luke Skywalker is out on this battlefield with his enemy, and come to find out he's not. He's in a state of meditation on some other island. And I went, yes. That's the way it's got to be. I have to be in the presence of the Father as I am on the battlefields fighting whatever it is that I'm fighting.
That's such a beautiful and powerful picture of spiritual warfare.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. And if you can do those two things at the same time, if you can multitask, if you can do those two things at the same time, have a place in the spirit where you are manifest in the presence of the Lord and have a place on the battlefield where the lion of the tribe of Judah roars through you. I'm going to tell you, man, you win, man. You win, you win, you win. So I like that very much. So you wrote down you included in my notes today, that we need to operate according to the rules of his presence.
Yes.
And that is a big deal, because so many times in warfare, you're being manipulated to operate in their rules.
Right.
According to their rules. And, you know, Jesus didn't fall to that.
No. And that's why it's so important to walk with the Holy Spirit as our teacher, our counselor, our guide, because he's navigating us through those different realms and through those different, this discerning of spirits. I think you talked about that recently and how it's so essential and it's so powerful to have, because we can fall prey to these different entities and these different spirits, thinking that it's of the kingdom of the Lord, but it's not.
So right on. I see that Pastor Gary McGibbon is here as well. Pastor Gary, my friend over in the Emerald Isle. I call you blessed, my friend. Sure do love you. It's great to see you. You guys are, Pablo is here from Argentina. Some of my Ugandan family is on from Uganda, people from all over the world. Hey guys, will y'all please share this across your own platforms and let people know. Pastor Troy Brewer and his daughter in the Lord, Conception Jenkins, who's been with me. How long have you been with me, Connie?
How long have y'all been at this building?
We've been at this building since 2013.
Well, then 2 weeks after y'all moved here is when I came.
Really? Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. It seems like you've been with me forever.
No, Hunter was, because he moved with y'all from another building, but I got here after.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Connie, everybody's saying hi to you. I've seen so many people saying hello to you. Right on. So if you would, guys, please, if you would, share this, let people know, man, that we're watching. And then also for all of my partners, I'm saying a great big thank you, man, for partnering with us, man. You guys are doing a great job. If you're not yet partnering with us, join our family and get in this fight and help us, help us, help us, help us. All right. So operating according to the rules of his presence, right on. You enter in his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So in the midst of terrible warfare, you stay connected to God in a manifest way through thanksgiving and through praise. And you're
grateful. Crazy is that each of these things that are being listed out are actually tools and weapons in the spirit. Mm. Like these are things that host the presence of the Lord and that usher you into his presence. And when you're in the midst of the presence of the Father, the kingdom of darkness has no access to you.
Okay. And then you also have, you got to be a holy habitation for his presence.
Yes.
Okay. I want to just say this to you. If you're a Christian, you have the presence of the Lord within you. Okay. We all have that. And when God Almighty gave us the Holy Ghost, it's called his earnest. It's his down payment, which is I'm paying this down and giving this to you now with the promise that you will be fully resurrected in Christ. So if you got the Holy Ghost, it's the down payment and the promise of the fulfillment of you being completely resurrected. So your spirit has been resurrected. Amen. Your mind is in the process of being renewed and resurrected. And someday your mortal body will be resurrected. And so that's how all of that works. Okay, so it's true that you have the habitation of the Lord. You do. It's also true that you are seated in Christ in heaven. But it is also true that you have to be willing to conform to see those things made manifest in your right now. If you want to see the Lord show up and be a holy habitation within him, within you, and you in him, you can't live like a knucklehead.
You have to be intentional. I would say in spiritual warfare, there is no gray area. Mm-hmm. There's no place where you can just coast and, oh, well, I love Jesus, but I'm not really going to be, about that. I'm not going to be about the spiritual warfare aspect of this. Well, you're already lost on the battlefield. There's no gray area. You either are for Jesus and you're loyal to him and you're intentional, or you're being manipulated, probably most likely, or deceived somehow by the enemy. Because there's no gray area. It just doesn't exist.
There's no neutral.
There's no neutral.
You're either going backwards or frontwards.
Right.
There's no neutral. There's no gray area. I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
And you're either engaged or you're not.
Right.
And anytime that you're not engaged, your flesh and your mind become a siren to spiritual things that immediately go, I got to take advantage of this person during this time because I got a small window of opportunity and he's dropping the ball. So this is the time to bring in boom, 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 boom.
Right. Yeah. Be sober. Be vigilant.
Mm. You know what? You were looking up that word sober.
I was. I grabbed it. I can't necessarily pronounce the Greek word, but it's Strong's number 3525, if anyone wants to go look it up. And it means to be sober, obviously, not drunk, but it also means to be free from illusion, free from the intoxicating influences of sin, like the impact of selfish passion and greed.
Look out.
Look out.
So let me tell you what the answer is to not being sober. It's being hungry for King Jesus 24/7. You have to hunger and thirst after him. And so, and that leads us into seeking first his kingdom, right?
So good, yes.
So seek first his kingdom and all these other things. So it's like, man, you got to be, there's something, man, that I got to throw out there to you guys, and this is so crazy. And I'm gonna get back to be sober and be vigilant, and I'm gonna do that here. But you need to know this, that when it comes to, this is so brilliant. I love this thing, and you guys are gonna want to type this out. I dare you guys to type this out. Help us with the algorithm and type this out. When you see somebody delivered of a demon, deliverance is not the end goal. Dominion is the end goal.
So powerful.
That is so powerful. So And God Almighty says that. He says, Jesus says, look, if you cast the devil out, and if that house is not filled up, so if the kingdom no longer, if the kingdom does not come in and have dominion, that brother's going to come back with seven more of his friends.
Worse.
And you're going to be, it'd be better for you have not been delivered in the first place. So deliverance is not the end goal. Deliverance is the means to move in the dominion of Jesus.
Crazy awesome. So good. And you have some scriptures here where King Jesus is telling people, and where you see that that principle you just shared, that deliverance isn't the end goal, but dominion is. In John 5:14, when Jesus heals the man who was paralyzed for 38 years, he tells him, see, you have been made well. See, you've been delivered. Now go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. That's dominion. Now you need to be intentional about the state you operate in.
Come on.
Because if you leave it the way it's been, then you're going to get what you just had. Come take up residence.
And it's going to be worse.
And worse.
When it comes back, it's going to be worse. So given Jesus' dominion, so look, we attack the devil, and like, here's, I'm just going to use this for example. Okay, we've been doing the food bank now for 35 years, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Last week, we fed almost 4,000 people. They came from 53 zip codes, right?
Whoa.
And 53 was
crazy.
Wow,
yeah.
That's a lot of people, man.
That's a
lot.
And
that's a lot of, that's a big area.
Especially in Texas, yeah, that's a lot.
So 53 zip codes, man, is a lot. Okay. All right, it's... We attacked the poverty. We attacked
it. I love that.
Just like we have for 35 years. We attacked the despair. Now, here's the deal. Once God comes in and once God fills up your cars with groceries, it's so important. Okay, now that this devil of not having enough is out, it is so important that now you operate in the dominion of that and bring the dominion of the kingdom into your life. Else, that thing will come back and it'll be worse than what it was last time. So rather, it is literally telling a demon to go.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Locke, that was who I was trying to think of a while ago.
Oh,
Pastor
yes.
Greg Locke, because my head's been trying to find it. I've been searching my files and about to do a conference with Pastor Greg Locke. You know, he came out with that movie, Devil Come Out or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. You remember all that? And people were being delivered in the audiences. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a big deal, man, to cast the devil out. It's a really big deal. And I'm sure that Pastor Greg would also say, a bigger deal than that is Jesus ruling and reigning in that previously occupied space. So when it comes to our state, if God Almighty comes in and he delivers me of something, like, I'm just going to say this. If I'm always dadgum melancholy and I'm all sad and I'm like Eeyore and I got a spirit of dadgum depression upon me, and then God Almighty comes in and he gives me best wife on the planet Earth, gives me a church that loves me, gives me kids that love me, give me 8 grandkids that love me. Give, everywhere I go, somebody tells me that they love me. But if I remain in that state, if I remain in that state, I am liable to lose absolutely everything that God Almighty has given me.
It's non-compatible.
It's because it's not compatible. You can't have a good marriage if you're like, oh, you can't have a good relationship with your kids. You can't have a good relationship with your church. You can't, all those different things. And so yes, there are different kinds of spirits that come after us. Yes, there are different places and battlegrounds we fight on, but you have to alter your state so that you are not compatible with those other bad things, but that you're totally compatible with the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes. And when we were just talking about how King Jesus delivers and then sends us off to have dominion, made me think of that scripture where it talks about we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom of marvelous light. And it's
well,
like the Lord also provides for us a realm, a new realm to live from. Like, okay, you're no longer subject to this realm of darkness. Now you have this kingdom realm that's upon you or at hand or it's in the midst of you.
About 15 years ago, I made this cool video that we show in our soak school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I didn't have any gray 15 years ago, and I was rocking it. And so I look like I've aged 30 years in 15 years.
I just do.
I know I do, and it's okay. I mean, it is. It's like I've been president of the United States or something. I don't know what happened to me. I just got old and ragged out and such a accelerated amount of time. Now that I've said that, I would much rather be old. I just want you to know that. I mean, I love being old. I love it. I'm like, yay. Yay for old. And so I love it. All right. Now that I've said that, in my video, what I used to do before I had the ranch and before I had a big place, mm-hmm. and I had property and all those kinds of things, before I had Redemption Ranch, before I had my house out in Glenrose, we lived in a little bitty tiny house, which you know very well.
Yeah.
And Raymond lives in it now.
Yes.
Like, Daddy, can I have this house? Like, yeah, I gave her the house. It's the only house she's ever lived in.
Mm-hmm.
So she's raising her family, which, by the way, Rayma actually graduated today from her 1 year of being a resident nurse.
Oh,
so her first year of residency.
Oh, my gosh.
And today was her big, hey, man, you accomplished your first year, mm-hmm. which is incredible.
Yeah, that is. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, man. I wouldn't take her job for nothing. She's like, no, I love it. She just likes dealing with trauma.
I remember when I think it was during the snowpocalypse we had, and there was a guy that needed a special way of changing his bandage.
Yes.
And she was able to do it, and that was, well, like, I could not.
It was all pussy
it was
and
rough.
Nasty.
It was
she
rough.
Walked in there, oh, it'd be okay. Just start stitching it up. Like, oh, my God. Anyway, yeah. I made this video, and the video was because I had this discipline, and mm-hmm. the discipline that I had was, as I would become overwhelmed with things, I would get this buildup mm-hmm. of hell, and you know how it is, mm-hmm. you know, you get a buildup, and you know, I was a lot younger than I am now. And I mean, still, it'll still build up on me today where I'm just like, God almighty, like the alien jumps on you, man. You got to get him off. Like just the grind, right? Mm-hmm. Just the grind, just the never ending grind can get anybody. Well, I would literally go into a room and the one small bedroom, and I would go in there. And what I would present to the Lord was, I would present my complaints. I would present my fears. I would present where I was heartbroken. I would present where I was mad, and I would make my petitions known to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then I would leave that place and slam the door and go into another room, and I would just start to praise Jesus.
Wow.
So I would literally intentionally be mad going into one place mm-hmm. as I presented. You know, the Bible doesn't just say, let your prayers be made known. Let your prayers and petitions. To me, those are two different places.
Yes.
And to me, those are two different states.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay. You know, like Jesus says, well, what's your problem? You know, the Father knows what you need. Why don't you just ask him? Like, okay, well, that, I would literally go in there. I'd get my mat on, or I would get my heartbreak on, and I would go in there, and I would say this great injustice, this little girl's been hurt. God, sometimes your church sucks. This church is so hard. These people are so mean. What in the world are you going to do about this? I don't know what to say about this. And oh, God, I was the worst pastor you probably have ever had in the history of pastors. And I don't know how to fix it. I'm stupid, and I don't know what to do. I need your help in this. And God, this thing, look at these bills. I got these bills, and yada, yada, yada. And devil, the hell with the devil. King Jesus, I'm loyal to you. I stand with you in this place, and boom, close the door on it. And then walk a couple of steps down the hall, go into another room, and go, this is my worship place.
Wow.
And I just want to thank you, and I want to praise you.
How did you get that revelation to do that, to manage?
I really don't know.
Like that? Because
really
that is crazy. Like crazy in a good way.
I've always liked to go to certain places to pray certain prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, this is before I even understood about sacred space or whatever. The Lord would tell me, go to so-and-so and pray about this. And I would drive 2 hours.
Wow.
And I'd go there and pray about it. And just like, it was, Lord wanted to be in a car with me. That was all I thought about it. I didn't know mm-hmm. that physical place was a place where that prayer could be answered.
Wow.
And I didn't know that. And also too, the state that I was in, for the 2 hour drive from here to there would completely change.
Mm-hmm.
And I would start gearing up for, you know, for a miracle to happen. And so.
Can I just say really quick?
Yeah.
What's most miraculous about that to me is, like, I go back to the different scriptures that I think of immediately. I think of when the Lord, it talks about be angry and sin not. Okay, so a state of anger is not necessarily sin, but what you do with it, how you steward it, can be. And then I think of in Proverbs, it's 25:28, where it says a person without, or a man of anger, a person without self-control is like a city without walls. Like, it's so genius to me that you had the wisdom to, okay, I'm in this state of anger. I'm going to take this to the Lord. I'm going to take this state before him, and I can trust him with it. He's not going to judge me for having anger. The Lord, he's not going to judge me. I can trust him with it. And you present it to him and you process it with him. Then you come out of that place and you're in a place of worship. So when it talks about an angry person is like a city without walls, I believe that that's an actual spiritual principle. So for you to go before the Lord with that anger and you can, you bring it to him, you trust him with it. He's your walls of salvation. So you're back armored up. And then you leave from that place into a state of worship and praise. That, to me, that's like, whoa, I am mind blown that you had the thought to be able to do that.
I got to show you that video. Yeah. Maybe the next time on the next Altered State, we'll bring that video and show
because we should.
It was actually Hunter that came out. It was your mean old husband that came out to my house and filmed that. Yeah, he was the one. He does. He needs to remember what he's filmed.
Yes.
Hunter, get with the program. Wait, hang on, say, where am I? Get with the program, Hunter. Get with the program. That's so funny. Well, guys, we're about done. I think that this next, I will actually bring that video next time and show it to you. And I had a prayer wall. I had a prayer wall in my room of praise.
Mm-hmm.
That prayer wall had like all the nations I had been to. I had prophetic phrases in there. And it was like a chalkboard, and I'd written it all in there, you know. But I didn't want to be in that holy place of intimacy with the Lord with that yuck.
Mm-hmm.
But the yuck is real.
It's real, yeah.
And I talk about it all the time, man, the yuck of ministry. It's just the yuck. And it's just, you just got to deal with it. And I mean, you know, you're still here after all these years, not because you've never been offended.
Yeah.
And not because it's been
offenses
easy.
Offenses come.
Yeah,
it's just
but
what
offenses
it is.
Come. Mm-hmm. You got to deal with the yuck.
Yes.
You know, you do. And now that I've said that, though, I mean, the yuck is real. So sometimes something will just build up and build up and build up, and then you become vulnerable to other things in the midst of this, because and we're not managing our state or our spirit before the Lord. And so, you need to be able to go into a place and say, all right, Lord. And I mean, I would literally, before I went into the room, I'd say, Jesus, this is your idea. It's not my idea. You're the one that told me to bring my burdens before you. And God, I'm about to bring my burdens for you. Please meet me in this room. Thank you for loving me. And I'll meet you in the other room in just a few minutes. I'll be all psychotic. I'll go in there and close the door. And I would say, like, I can think of one time in particular that was a really big deal. There was one person that was giving me so much trouble. And I said, okay, God, first order of business here. This person gives me so much trouble. And I know that this person is your son. I know that this person is your child. I know that. And so I fear you, but this brother is a knucklehead. And what this brother has done is out of line. And what he has said, and the problem, and then I would go from there to the next. And God, I'm presenting this thing before you because I don't know how to bear this burden. I don't know how to steward it. And there, God, I got this bill, that bill, that bill, that bill, that bill. Why have you called me to be such a giver and I don't have any money? What is the problem? And this, devil from hell, I rebuke you. Yeah. I call upon all your promises upon my life and all the seeds that I planted. That's real and that's legit and this has to happen. Then I go in, and I would go through all of that. And then as soon as I was done, I didn't want to linger in that place.
Mm-hmm.
I would literally close the door, slam the door, and then go right back in there and just go fall on my knees and just say, thank you, Jesus. You're so beautiful. You're so wonderful. And change my, I'm not going to bring my mad into his presence in that room. I'm going to bring my mad into his presence in that other room.
Wow.
That's an altered state. I didn't think about that being an altered state. I didn't think, but that's exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Multitasking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good stuff. Well, Connie, I think next week, not only will I bring that video and show you that from like 15 years ago or so.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
But I will also, I think we're going to get into power and authority in spiritual warfare. And there's a big difference between power and authority, isn't there?
Right, there is. And I think once you start looking at, oh, yeah, Jesus mentioned both in these different scriptures, there's a reason. He was very intentional about what he said. So for him to say two different things or two different words, he's not just using it synonymously. They mean two different things.
So can we just give a little teaser of that?
Yeah, let's go into it.
So just tiny teaser, and we'll unpack this whole thing next week. What is the difference between power and authority?
So power is your ability to act. It's your ability to enforce. Right. Authority is your right to do so.
Oh, and then there we go again. Within realms, you have within certain realms. Rights within realms.
So I would say think of it this way. So power and authority, think of it. So there's a kingdom. Mm. The king has power and authority.
Yep.
His authority is his rule from his throne. His power is like his police force that goes out and enforces the rules.
That's a good word. That's a good word. Well, friends, this is my daughter in the Lord and one of my very best friends, Miss Conception Jenkins. So good to have you with us today.
Yes, it was good.
Will you join me again?
Of course,
yes. You're so
yes.
good at this. And by the way, you cats need to know, this is how we talk all the time.
Yes.
This is how we talk. You know, I call her a couple of times a day and say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And then you're always texting me with, you got to see this video. You got to watch this. You got to do that.
Because I come across so much that I'm like, dude, Pastor Troy or Papa Troy would love this. Or I've heard you talk about it before. And I'm like, oh, this person has a different revelation or a perspective on something that I've heard you talk about. So I'm like, I have to share this.
Who is the guy that you sent me one today? What's his name we were talking about? He was talking about constellation angels.
Oh, Dan Duvall.
Yeah, Dan Duvall.
And he's a Texan here.
He's from Katy, Texas. Yeah. He sure is. I gotta meet that brother.
Yes, you have to.
But yeah, Dan Duvall goes off and says, hey man, there's all kinds of star angels. And there's constellation angels come down and attack people. That's what the guy told me on top of that pyramid. He said, once a year, all those stars, they come down on the top of the pyramid, and if you're up there, they'll just beat your eyes shut.
Yeah, because they have a power and authority in that place.
They have authority there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, guys, this has been great. I hope that you're enjoying this. Remember, all these are stacking up at odx.tv, and all of these, we're actually going to make a book out of this. So out of all these episodes, these are going to be chapters in a book that I'm going to call Altered State, which will be coming at you probably at the end of 2026. I have three more books. There's actually four more books coming out between here and there. And Leanna's new book is out, by the way. And the ladies' conference begins tonight.
Yes, tonight's night one.
Y'all ought to see the madness going on down there.
Yeah,
they've got like a rainbow weirdness thing to walk through. It's all these LED walls. And
it's like a kaleidoscope.
Yeah,
Leanna, that you walk through.
She's a trip.
So
man.
Fun, so cool.
She loves that kind of stuff. Okay, so thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you so much, guys, for standing with me. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, man. May the Lord God Almighty bless you. I want to pray over all of our partners and just declare the goodness of the Lord over your life, that today is a good day. That today is a good day for you, that you see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And may God Almighty bless your faithfulness. May God Almighty bless how you go out of the way to stand with us financially. And I bless that. And I bless you in Jesus' name. Guys, I'm going to go out with a video of something that's going to be happening here in next month. Watch this. This is going to be one of the greatest shows ever, and I'm so excited about it. So, friends, be looking for Joseph Z. We're Christians. We're believers in Jesus.
That's right.
Darren Stott.
This can be redeemed. Your marriage can be restored.
Alan DeDia.
God speaks through authority. He always has, and he always will.
Tony Markle.
And so it should be a call to the men of the household to be strong in their position and don't abandon the post.
Brian Schwartz.
That means we have his memory, we have his insight, we have his perspective.
And yours truly for a brand new show that's called The Counter. You'll be able to find exclusively in stage 2 and stage 3 of ODX.TV.